I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Bergman in the house. You got ticketed anytime recently? We were just talking about the last time you got pulled over.
He got arrested a week and a half ago.
Bar fight?
You know why Sliwa knows that? He bailed me out. He's a good guy. He bailed me out of jail.
He's your jail phone. That's a good conversation, by the way, for one day. Who's the person you call when you need to get out of jail and keep their mouth shut?
There's one answer.
Didn't we do that? Oh, you might have been out of here because I talked about bailing my friend out of jail one time. My mom didn't know about that story.
You and Quinn.
Yeah, my mom didn't know that story. And I was like, I didn't know that Chandler went to jail.
I had a run at Santa Barbara, speaking of, where I lived with three other guys. I bailed them all out of jail in a 2-month window.
Well, that's Santa Barbara for you. But there's one correct answer. At this station, there's one correct answer.
There's like a savings account for bail money. It's right. Titled.
The guy at the front desk of the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, yeah.
They buy the 12 packs or the 18 packs, and the change goes into that fund. Right. So you always have somebody. But there's one correct answer for somebody that will bail you out of jail here, and you know who it is. John Ireland will bail any single person out of jail that is in this station, and that is a fact.
And then he will tell a story on air the next day.
That's the problem. There you go.
If you ask him not to, he won't.
That's the one.
John is 100% the guy. He will be there immediately. If he is your one phone call, he will be there in 20 minutes
or
less.
Who are you calling, Slee?
One person from the station.
It's John Ireland.
Cates.
Good answer.
Yeah, Cates will keep a secret. Cates is... I'll call Cates. Cates, if you guys don't know, been doing the sales thing for a number of years. I'm calling Cates.
He was salesman of the year at the Mandy's last year.
It's basically salesman of the year for 19 years in a row. Whether that award was there or not, the guy's been salesman of the year for 19 years.
But no, I haven't got a ticket in a little bit. The last time I got a ticket was because I was driving, looking at my phone with directions. It wasn't anything other than just Waze. No, it was.
Sure.
It was Waze, and I was looking at it. And they
what level were you
over.
On?
On Waze?
No, whatever game you were playing.
Words with friends.
I think I'm in the top 5% of Waze.
He had a triple word score with Q.
Oh, man, I'm winning that game. but it was. It was right. It was downtown, I was driving.
You guys are missing the most obvious answer to that question, by the way. It's him.
It's Taylor?
Oh, for sure. Think he's ever going to tell anybody?
I don't got the cash, though.
I'll pay for it, but I need you to come down and pick me up, and here's the deal. I got caught doing something I wasn't supposed to do. I need you to pretend that this never happened. He's never telling a soul.
Not one person
he's
ever.
Never telling
and wouldn't
a soul.
Treat you any differently.
Right.
Think.
That's what I mean. Like that. He's the answer to that
I
question.
Agree with that just because when you...
Morales
you know
would
things,
say nothing, too.
When you...
I don't know.
I love Morales. He's talking.
And here we go.
Yeah, of course he is.
Travis and Sliwa. Yep. Last night, Trav got picked up at 3:45 after, right?
No, but Taylor's one of those guys, though. Like, if you want to know about Taylor, you have to ask.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, you were doing this last night? Well, you didn't ask me, so I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you? Pick
Trav got
Trav
arrested. You didn't ask
for a triple homicide last night. You didn't ask me if he did.
Unless you asked that specific question, right. You're not getting
it. It needs
details.
To be the
you're
specific my guy, Taylor. Question.
You're my guy.
Memorize my number.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, I never memorize anybody's number.
Are you guys ready to do one more category for the Oscars?
We are.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this one is going to be Best Actor in a Supporting Role. Okay, I know we are all again. We know who is going to win this one, right? Right? Of course.
Yeah.
So
Jack Nicholson.
We got Brendan Gleeson for The Banshees of Inisherin.
I don't know who that is.
We got Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway.
I don't know him.
Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans.
Taxi?
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. That's him.
Nice.
I got Barry Keoghan. He's an Irish last name, so I think that's the right way. Banshees
Keegan.
Of Inisherin.
I think it's Keegan.
Maybe.
Lots of E's, O's, G's, H's in a row.
I've heard Keoghan pronounce it in an award.
It's Keoghan.
Okay. Can I just throw it out there that no one really gives a damn?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it. And then you got Kiwi Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. He played Short Round and Indiana
that
Jones.
Was awesome.
Yeah, so he's had a big comeback story for this one. So, all right, let's start with Alan. Who do you think's going to win?
Kiwi Kwan.
All right.
If I pronounced that right, that's...
I'm going to go, everything I do will be just the movies that I've seen. So it's either Maverick or Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's my it? Theme here.
Did you like it?
I have seen it. It's really
like
good.
It was great.
Really, really good.
All right, Greg?
It's short
you
round.
Got these three and you got that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who any of those other people are except for Judd Hirsch. So, and I've heard of Barry Keoghan, Keoghan, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
I think I'm the guy from Everywhere All at Once. Everything okay. Everywhere All at Once.
Is that a different movie than the one that everyone else is talking
there's
about?
There's a lot of ease.
There's a double everything
there's
in your
something.
Version. everything all at once.
If you see the movie, 10% that actually of the makes sales. They took 10% of the sales because people were confused.
All right, Jeff.
Jennifer Connelly.
Perfect. Taylor?
Give me the Irishman from Banshees.
Okay, so which one? There's two. There's Brendan Gleeson and Barry Keoghan.
He wants both of them. He wants both of them.
Keoghan.
Okay. And then I'm going to do Kiwi Kwan. He has won at every award show. He's so
great.
Good in the show.
He's awesome.
He has a huge comeback story. Everyone loves him. Everyone wants to take selfies with him, so I'm going to go Key.
I like when...
I've seen that guy.
I believe you.
And I have to do that because... I crack jokes on this, but that movie was actually really good, and it's the only movie I have under my belt that I could offer anything to.
There's a specific fight scene that you would know that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is it
the guys flying through the air?
Yep, that one.
It was amazing.
It's great.
Top Gun had guys flying through the air.
But did they land on the things that we're talking about?
Yeah,
no.
They didn't land. They did not land on what we're talking about.
Al, is that a good scene? You guys be quiet. I'm talking to Alan.
I don't want to push. Good movie.
Okay.
It's a good scene.
Yeah, sure. I believe it.
By the way, that was already too much pushing.
Wasn't.
All I did was I don't want to push. You're like, you're pushing too hard.
You're not the pushy guy. You're all right. If you actually gave
the
me...
Buck.
No, if you gave me a real, like, Trav, no, really, I think you'd like... I'd listen to you. Because you don't do that. Like, there are a few that got to give it to me every once in a while that I...
By the way, I know I mentioned this to you. I am so in... Your Honor, right now.
You said you watched another one last night?
Watched two last night.
Two more? Half hours? Hours?
They're 1 hour each.
That.
Wow.
Shrinking.
I've done...
You're watching more than I am right
now. I've done two episodes. I did two episodes Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. Yeah, I've done six episodes in the past.
You got to be close to being done with it, I would think.
I think so. How many do we know? I haven't even looked it up. I don't know how many episodes there are in season one, but... Got to be getting close to the end of season one.
I cheat a little bit. I always like once I'm into something, like if you're three or four in, you're like, okay, how many of these are there? Like, do I know I've got one more, 10 more? Because you got to kind of savor.
I always look for it. Yeah,
me too.
By the way, Emily, you're right. It is Keoghan according to Wikipedia, at least.
Greg, do you think for one second that you were more plugged into what's going on in the movie universe than she was?
I really shouldn't have.
You also threw me off,
but I really thought so. Yeah.
Yeah, but those Irish names, Lee, can be all over the place.
No, but look, yeah, exactly. The Irish names.
The Irish names are all over the place.
Like Siobhan is not spelled.
Well, what's the Saoirse Ronan or whatever?
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan.
It's spelled so weird.
It's got like I's and O's, and it's Saoirse.
I had a friend named...
was she on SNL? That was the one that was on SNL.
Yeah, she was.
She talked about that.
Emily.
Someone named Neve.
Little credit, please, for me knowing Saoirse Ronan.
Yes. She's one of my favorite actresses. I love her so much.
No, that's not
no,
the
no.
Point.
I'm hit a bell
credit.
Or like.
I got a really obscure Irish actress correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's
credit to Travis
Thank you,
Rogers.
Taylor. That's all I really
Can
wanted.
You name something she was in?
Not a chance.
Right.
To really
Lady
show
Bird,
respect for knowing that
Brooklyn.
Name.
That's a Bach.
Play. Play that applause till 11:12.
Sure.
And then we'll just stand here like this.
Works for me.
And Slee, you got 10 episodes, by the way.
10 episodes. And so, you're getting close.
I think I got one more left then.
Tonight? No Lakers?
Yeah, tonight. Oh, done. Tonight.
Shrinking.
You know what you should do? Right when it's done, you should like do like one of those handheld like videos straight to Twitter, like go live and just break down the entire series.
The best.
Slee, we're here breaking down the verdict. What's it called?
Your Honor.
Breaking down Your Honor.
The best part about doing that is when you're so far behind everybody else and no one's going to know what the hell you're talking about. It's like somebody in sports going back and, hey, just watch the Cavs-Warriors series from 2016. What a great series.
I watched Breaking Bad late, right? Like I watched it. I started watching it years after it had ended, right? So I was maybe 5 years late to this whole thing. And I was so desperate to talk to people about it. They're like, dude, what, huh? Like, this, I watched this 10 years ago. What are you talking about? Like,
I don't remember that scene.
Why are you bringing it up now?
Yeah. Breaking Bad blogs. You're like, try now.
I'm going to freshen it up.
On Lakers Talk Daily, can you just start dropping in little Your Honor references?
It's not bad.
Lakers Daily.
I love that. I'm in this Your Honor
stuff. You should.
I did not know that I was going to like it this much. Oh, I'm.
I did.
I told you did because you suggested.
So confident.
It.
I love
she
that.
She did. She said, I told you this, that when you find one, because you don't always get one, when you find one that you're into, that is so nice at night to just be like, I'm watching that. And you kind of already know what you're watching. You don't have to. Breaking Bad has done that. Soprano has done that. The Wire's done, like a few of them has. Your Honor's good enough. That's definitely good enough.
I hate searching for something to watch.
You got to have somebody that you share a point of view and interest with that has Rex, right? Yeah. Like, because if you're just going in blind and you're going in like top 10 on Netflix, by the way, I started the MH370 thing on Netflix last night.
How was
it?
What is that?
It's about the Malaysian air flight that just vanished.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I watched half of the Chris Rock special last night.
Yeah, I didn't. I stopped after about 20 minutes in. Into it.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny.
There was funny parts, but it wasn't like laugh out loud. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I think part of it is with Rock in particular, you have such a high bar.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because it's Chris Rock, you're expecting to be in stitches from the moment he walks on stage. That's not what there are some great jokes. I did like the one joke he said, where you're not going to be able to tell any of these jokes at work tomorrow. True.
Right.
Yeah, like very, very
How long
true.
Is it?
It's about an hour and 10, 15 minutes.
Like most specials are at length.
Yeah.
You know what I started watching? History of the World Part 2.
The Monty Python?
I've heard that that's really good. So they redid it now.
They redid, yeah. It's Mel Brooks redid.
Oh, Mel Brooks, that's right.
Yeah, History of the World Part 2. And it was in four different days. So today is the last day because they started on Monday. And it is so funny. I mean, it does kind of go towards the Jewish tribesman in me because Mel Brooks is that side of it. But if you liked History of the World Part 1, it's so funny. It doesn't overlap that much with the old one. Very funny.
I like the first one.
Okay, you'll like this.
Okay.
You'll like it.
I might have to get that.
I
might have to get the doc you're talking about.
The MH370, I think it is.
MH370.
Yeah. It's...
when the Lakers...
you think there's... I'm not a conspiracy theorist generally, but this is one of those, like, this just doesn't make any sense at all. Like, how did it just, poof? Mm. Really? A 777 just gone?
I think I'm doing your, I'm finishing Your Honor tonight, and weird. Then I'm going to MH370.
Do Rock, too. I'm curious what you think about Rock special. It's good, but it's not Chris Rock at his absolute, you know, best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not his best.
It's a little.
Dodgers and Pods, head to head. Who's got it? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're going to have to change that promo, Al, to have you ever had your delivery driver drop off Thai food at another Thai food restaurant on the same day?
That was one of my favorite stories you've ever told,
well, here's,
by the way.
Here's,
it's amazing.
Here's
it's
the great
so good.
Thing. Here's a great thing. Every time I tell the story, I actually have a real enjoyment of telling the story. So when you could have such a stupid, idiotic move that involves you and you're like looking forward to telling the story, then it has to be a really good story. Thai food dropped off to another Thai food and the place was closed and the Thai food was just sitting on the bench outside of a dark Thai food place.
Is that your party, like, icebreaker? So when you go to
or do
a party,
you juggle?
Yeah.
It's either that. What was the other?
Hey, guys. Watch this.
What was the other one?
Throw me an orange.
What was that? Hacky right, sack? Now, is that what was it called? Hacky
banana.
Sack?
Yeah. You never played hacky?
No, I did, but it was like high school. You just go well, to a
you
party.
You got pickleball, man.
You have a hacky sack. You just start throwing it up there. Like, what is he doing? Come on, hit it.
Let's be friends.
You guys want to get in on the hack? You want? Come on over and join the hack.
The drum circle right next
Slee,
to it.
I figure like you got one of those knit hats that's all dirty and stinks. Like every hacky sack guy had the hat on as well.
I've never dreads.
You
too.
Never see. Yeah. Yep. I never see a hacky sack guy like clean cut. Like he just sets his briefcase down and starts a hacky sack.
Let me put down my cigarette real quick, just a second.
Now all it's right. An e-cig. But yeah, go ahead.
The Padres basically went out and spent money to buy every good player that was available on the market this offseason. And
failed, too, right?
And missed.
Aaron Judge didn't get
Trey Turner.
Trey Turner didn't get
They got Bogarts. They gave all the money to Machado. They gave all the money to Tatis. They gave all the money to Darvish and Musgrove and all these guys. And yet they still tried to get everybody else that was an impact player. Dodgers have been King Kong in the NL West for the last 10 years.
Yep.
They have 9 division titles. Mm-hmm. The one year they didn't win it, they won 105 games and won the wild card. Okay. They're still very, very good. And I've been of the opinion that the Dodgers, I think, are in a pretty good spot coming into this season because A, they got a good team. And B, for the first time in I don't know how long, the expectations are realistic. It's just be good, get in the playoffs, and see what happens. Not are you going to win 115 games and win the World
Dave
Series?
Dave Roberts has to guarantee a World Series. No.
Exactly.
All that stuff.
He even said he's not going to. He refuses to do it again.
All of those expectations went down south. They're on the Padres and everything that they have. But just if you go through this and look at it, and I have both of these lineups. We're just going to go position by position. The Padres have a better player at more positions than the Dodgers do. I think the Dodgers have 2 no-brainers. Tell me if you guys agree with these.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman over Jake Cronenworth at first base.
Of course.
Absolutely. No-brainer.
Of course.
Right?
Okay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Will Smith over Nola at catcher.
Yes. Absolutely.
No-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think those are the only 2 that the Dodgers have that are no-brainers.
No-brainer.
Here are the Padre no-brainers. Mm-hmm. Bogarts over Rojas at shortstop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Machado over Vargas at third.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tatis over whoever plays left field for the Dodgers. Taylor.
Probably Taylor.
Yeah. Okay.
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how Tatis is going to come back.
But if you just said, which of these 2 guys do you want on your team?
You want Tatis, picking Tatis. Take your chance. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The rest of it, so that's 3-2 for the Pods. Here's where it gets interesting. Ha-Sung Kim or Max Muncy at second base?
I probably would go Muncy.
Okay.
Ha-Sung Kim is a very, he's not a hitter.
Yeah, you're getting different things.
You're getting a solid baseball player, but he's going to play small ball. If you said pick between those 2 players, he's a better defender. I'm taking Muncy between those 2.
Right. It's kind of like the difference between
you want offense or defense, right?
Yeah, offense or defense. It's the difference between Bogarts and Rojas.
Okay, so let's
defense, one's offense.
Let's say the Dodgers.
Even though Bogarts
it's close, right?
Yep.
Close, but Dodgers. Okay, go to the next one that's kind of a toss up. Center field. Grisham for the Pods or the Outman, Hayward, Trace Thompson three-headed monster for the Dodgers?
It's a 50-50 to me. It depends on what you get from Outman. Outman looks like he's going to be a stud.
Okay,
like
he also could be Billy Ashley.
He very well could be. he could be Rookie of the Year Cody Bellinger too.
Yep.
But the difference, Grisham is a good defensive player at times, and his
he's
offense,
a good defender.
He's a good defender. His offense absolutely disappeared last year until the playoffs. So I don't really get much from Grisham.
I would just go Trent Grisham only because
the defense.
I think not just the defense.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, he's been there. And you're right. He did have a run in the playoffs where he was hitting homers off Scherzer, doing everything. He had a great
run.
That
was crazy.
But I feel like, let's put it this way, there's more upside to some of the players that you're talking about, but I kind of feel like I know what I'm going to get with Trent Grisham.
I tend to agree with Al. It's close, but
it's close.
If we're going to flip coins, I think I would land on the Padre side because I know what I'm going to get. The other guys, you might get a little more, but there's a better than average chance you could get less.
And so, you don't know who's there every day.
Yep.
No. Mm-hmm. So I think if you told me at the end of the year who was going to be better between those 2, and I'm just going to use Outman, I think Outman's going to have an overall better year than Grisham. But as of right now, today, probably Grisham.
Here's the big one. It's right field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big one is because Mookie Betts is a former MVP mm-hmm. and is still an excellent major league player.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Soto might be the best player in baseball. So the Dodgers' best player may not be the better player of the two guys at the same position in that division.
So I still think it's Mookie for the longevity because you know what you're going to get from the same kind of thing you're talking about with Grisham, but on a much higher level because Mookie has done all of it and he's that good.
If you could trade Mookie for Juan Soto today, do you do it?
I think just because of age, most likely, yeah, but not
availability too. A little bit. Mookie was banged up a little bit last year.
Sure, but I think that overall, I think
Soto's got more pop. Right,
I also think Soto in that ballpark showed that he wasn't as great as he was at the Nationals ballpark, and he was pretty bad for a little while. He got better towards the end of the year, and
you betting on him being bad again?
He also walks a ton, and yeah. I need more pop from him.
You betting on Juan Soto being bad again?
No.
Can I jump in for a quick second?
But I do think as of right now, this is the same conversation with Grisham versus Outman. As of right now, I'm still going Betts. But at the end of the year, Soto over Betts probably.
Soto's going to have a year.
Yeah, he is.
He is. He's going to have a year for a couple different reasons, but he's also going to have a year, you want to call it the shift, that's going to, every ball he hit was in the shift last mm-hmm. year, okay?
I think see what they're doing now? They're putting the left fielder in right field.
The left fielder in right field.
They're moving the left fielder to where they used to put the third baseman, because there's no rule that the...
Oh, wow.
There's a rule on where the infielders can be. There's no rule on where the outfielders can be.
I don't have a problem with that, by the way.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how many people do it and how effective it is. Because if the result is the same as using the third baseman, they'll write a new rule.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and that's interesting, that's not something that they thought was going to happen.
Did you?
I did not.
Neither did I. Like, it's one of those things that, well,
but I don't run smart. Baseball.
Yeah.
Okay, so just the Soto-Betts conversation. I think he's going to have a year, and I think a lot of those walks that you were talking about, you're not wrong about, but there's so much protection around the lineup right now that the Padres have. It's not like, hey, walk Soto, and then you're good to go after that. It's going to be a dangerous lineup to begin with. I think he's going to have a year. The only difference is Mookie's such a baller in right, just from a defensive perspective versus Soto. Soto's going to have a year.
So you think, would you put on the defensive end, you would put Betts over Soto?
I would.
Okay, so then there's that portion of it
too. I would, but Juan Soto is such... Juan Soto might be the best offensive player in the league.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And I'm taking that. I don't care if he couldn't catch a cold in right field. If you're the best offensive player in the league, I'm taking that guy. It's really close, but I'm doing it. Let's just go through the pitching very, very quickly here. Ace to Ace, Urias to Darvish, Dodgers. Yes?
Yes, okay. Urias.
I agree. And I'm using the order that ESPN has the depth chart here, okay? Kershaw to Musgrove.
Even though he's probably the third.
Kershaw to Musgrove.
Kershaw.
I don't think so.
I go Musgrove.
Musgrove's just
because of age and
you can't pick Kershaw because the other guy gets injured.
Well, no, Kershaw gets injured too, obviously, right. And he sits out time. But when you put them up head to head, Kershaw still had a great year last year.
He did.
He is a legit pitcher. He's not just throw. He is pitching two spots, and he's going to have a below 3 ERA.
Musgrove keeps getting better, though, Greg.
Yeah, he's getting...
Musgrove, I'm going to just remind you of one game from last year that kind of...
In a big game.
Solidified Musgrove. Yeah. It's game three. This is it. You're on the road. You're in New York.
Is that when his ears turned bright red?
Yes.
Yeah, and they were rubbing his ears, like going real deep in
there. That was
the ear massage.
Come here.
Like, I was like thinking there was a medical emergency. Like, everything all right? Like, your ears are not supposed to be that color.
He is something about Musgrove that I just don't trust. I don't trust him.
I trust him over Snell.
Well, I don't trust Snell at all.
And not only is he getting better, like you just said, he kind of solidified himself last year this is one of those dudes. So.
Go to the next guy. Gonsolin Snell.
Gonsolin is injured right
Snell.
Now.
I think it's really close.
It's really close.
I would call that one a wash. Snell's getting worse.
Yes.
Gonsolin's getting better.
But we need to see it again from Gonsolin.
Yeah.
That was the first thing you said. You got to see it again.
I'm going to need to see it again, and that feels like a wash. Let's do the last two. Dustin May, Michael Wacha.
Dustin May.
I think so, too. Last guy, Syndergaard for the Dodgers, Martinez for the Pods.
Syndergaard.
I think so, too. So the Dodgers have a slight edge in pitching. Go to the last thing that we got on the list. Josh Hader against
nobody.
God only knows.
Yeah. Maybe Evan Phillips.
Pick and choose for that day.
Yeah. So Hader's
not even going to be Evan Phillips. Hader. He's the fireman role.
The point of all this is, even if you kind of try to tilt it towards the Dodgers, the Padres still have more. Yeah. And it doesn't guarantee anything. There's no guarantees in baseball.
Yep.
Baseball is weird. Super teams very rarely work. But the point is, they, if the Dodgers, we are just kind of like, look, they're going to win 90 or 95 games. The Padres are too. And it mm-hmm. might come down to those 14 games that they play against each other. We were talking about a couple of years ago. Remember, oh, this is going to be like the World Series. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. The Dodgers beat them like a drum. Mm-hmm. It never really turned out like that. It might this year. Those teams are remarkably evenly matched.
So what? All I hear in that, by the way.
Can I just hear real quick from you guys, because it's on the outside looking in, Bob Melvin or Dave Roberts?
Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, not because Bob Melvin's bad.
No.
Not mm-hmm. because Bob Melvin is bad, but I think we've talked about it a couple of days ago with Gavin Lux. I think Dave Roberts has a very significant connection to his players.
He does.
Yeah. I think they respond to him very, very well. He's been there a long time. He's got history with him. Melvin's still relatively new.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, all I heard in all of that was that after San Diego went and did all of this, paid all this money, Peter Seiler doing all
they're
of this.
They're about as good as the Dodgers.
They're about as good as the Dodgers, maybe slightly better.
Yeah.
Like that's so I that just makes me feel better about this season moving forward than the other way around, where everyone's like, oh, the Padres is going to be so much better.
But this is what it was. This
from
is,
that, I don't hear it anymore. This I hear is, Dodgers. In that.
This is what it was. I think it was you got one squad that had 111 wins. Right. You had another squad, 89, whatever the Padres had. What happened in the offseason was the Dodgers either didn't replace guys that left or
right.
have the injury like Gavin Lux, and the Padres went out and got guys. All you can kind of do if you're the Padres is, can we get up closer to their level? They came down a little bit. Padres came up
it's
a little
like
bit.
It's like the catch weight in a title fight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a heavyweight, you're a welter, or whatever the next. It's like, you're not coming up to 210. I'm not going down to 170. Let's fight at 185.
Yeah. it's evened
that's
out.
That's kind of where it is.
But I don't feel badly about the Dodgers after that. I actually feel not good about them.
But the Dodgers also have a Achilles heel that they have not had in about 5 years. They are thin as a piece of paper.
Very, very thin.
They
are
going
to rely on AAA
super,
way too
super
much.
Thin. The Dodgers haven't been thin in I don't know how long. And right now, look, if Gonsolin's ankle is a thing, we're having a really different conversation all of a sudden. Now I got to find another guy. Now Syndergaard has to be a little better. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, now you got Grove, you got Pepio, Stone. You've got some guys that are major league caliber, but
Padres don't have that.
No.
They don't have that
farm system whatsoever now.
That depth.
Well, they're all wearing
rotation.
National uniforms now.
Right, you moved them all. Yeah,
they're all in D.C. or in the D.C. minor league
one
system.
Guy goes down there, and everything flips for them, too.
We are getting closer. A week from Saturday, March 18th, our inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament, 10 to 4 at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley at the Agape Pickleball Center. Come on out and hang out with us. The event is open to the general public. You can reserve some seats. That is available at ESPNLA.com. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. We got all the TVs out there so you can watch your college basketball game. There's a kid zone. Bring your kids out. There's a beer garden. Look for me there. Complimentary food and drinks, live DJ and entertainment, prizes, giveaways, 360 photo booth. It is going to be great, and Team Thick Van Exel is going to be led by none other than Alan Sliwa. That's what's going to happen, and we got to win once.
Practicing three times in a week.
You're in. You're going to be given lessons by the time that this thing is over. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, guys. These are days that I love. I love live sports coming on during our show. And so Marquette and St. John's are marking up against each other in the Big East tournament quarterfinals. I know everyone's on the edge of their seats about it. But the end of regulation, they Marquette tried to win, and they threw up an alley-oop. Alley-oop was too late into the buzzer. I'm like, that's your ending.
That's fine.
That's your end game thing. I don't know.
You know why you're in a good mood today?
Yes. Why?
You're not coming to work tomorrow.
Yeah, you're done.
Right. UVA plays later too. It's
hour and a half away from your weekend
thinking,
starting.
How much can I drink tonight and still feel good on the boat tomorrow and go to, like the whole thing? I know you're.
Do I jump in the water once I get to Catalina? Yeah. Do I just jump right off?
Garibaldi fish sleep.
I love tournament basketball and Oscar's room this year. All great stuff.
San Diego State at noon today. Just so everybody knows,
they got
Colorado State.
Gauchos and Cal Poly at 6.
UCLA Colorado at 12 on Pac-12 Network, which we can't get here, which is very frustrating.
Can anybody get
such
it
a good network? Because it's such a good network.
Yeah. Pac-12 Network is such a waste.
I wonder why SC and UCLA left.
No reason.
And it's going to fall apart soon.
So speaking in the same vein, Jim Boeheim has now retired from being the head coach of Syracuse. He was the longest tenured coach in college basketball until he retired yesterday. And he and his team, Syracuse, lost in the last second buzzer beater against Wake Forest yesterday. So a last second buzzer beater is the worst way to lose a game in any sport. Travis, Fed or Cap?
Cap. There's one thing that I think is more gut-wrenching.
A balk?
A walk-off balk.
Pretty good. It happens occasionally.
That's funny.
By the way, I'll see it before the umpire will. That's high on the list. The one that, because it comes out of nowhere and the game's just over, is an overtime goal in hockey in the playoffs. It's up and down, it's up and down. There's chance after chance after chance. And then all of a sudden it just goes in and it's over. There's like in baseball, somebody comes, there's a guy on base, or there's usually a buildup to it. Sometimes you just get a home run. But the hockey goals in overtime in the playoffs feel like just a random occurrence that happens out of nowhere, and it's just over. It just feels incredibly sudden. So I'll put the basketball one on the number two line.
All right, Berg.
So I was going to go fact, but you just completely sold me on the hockey one because you're 100% right. So it's Cap.
It's so abrupt.
It is. Like when Alex Martinez did it against
You know what it is, too? I forgot to mention this, Berg. It's like in basketball, the clock's ticking down. In
you can
hockey,
watch it.
It could happen at any second, at any point in the period.
It's just a slap shot from the corner. You're like, oh my God, it's over.
That's a good point.
With 2 minutes into the period.
Yeah.
The game's over.
Yeah,
you're not preparing for in basketball. There's 5 minutes left. There's 2 minutes left. There's 30 seconds left. There's 10 seconds. I can just bam over.
And at the same time, you know
what happened.
You know there's gonna be a half court heave,
right?
Like when Jalen Suggs did it against UCLA for Gonzaga,
right?
Like it was
coming.
It was going up there, and you're just watching it go through the air, and you're like, oh man, that's going in,
right? Banked. Al.
So if I told you, if I said, look, these are the worst sports moments I've had. But I don't know if it equates to this. So I'll give you an example. Being at the Chargers-Patriots game or the Chargers-Jets game, it's when your kicker...
It's a good one.
You're supposed to make the field goal.
The missed one.
You're close enough to hit the field goal. It's expected to go in, and he shanks it.
It's a really good one.
And the game's over.
It's a really good
one. That's it. Your squad just lost. You think that you were going to win. That one stands out to me more than anything else. I mean, you could say a walk-off homer. You could do that, but... When you expect something to happen and it's a field goal and that's all that position player is there to do and they miss it.
You have it in your hand and it gets snatched
and it's done.
That's a good one.
And then everybody puts their head down and walks out of Qualcomm Stadium.
That's a
then
really
the team leaves.
Yeah.
That's Charger specific and a great
one. Very Charger specific.
Berg, you're on the good side of this year, but a walk-off pick six, like the Patriots Raiders game this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's pretty
Chandler
bad,
Jones,
too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, Taylor?
Cap on this. I'm going with kind of expanding on what Slee said. Just any kind of human error, like a ball going between your legs or calling a timeout you don't have, something like that.
Yeah, it's more when your squad disappoints you, not what the other team did.
You're right.
A remarkable shot or whatever.
Like a makeable field goal that's missed is like you're 1 inch from glory. And then it's over, and you're out, and you go home.
And Kading is like,
you
no.
Hate everybody.
No.
I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. Red Sox through the legs.
Buckner,
yeah. Mm. That is just, I mean, that's a routine play
that you just
done it a million
behind
times.
The back. And it's over. He gets through Buckner. Knight is going to score.
Right. So the Oscars producers came out and said that they were one of them was being interviewed by I believe the Hollywood Reporter and
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And they were saying that when they start playing people off, they're not trying to be rude. They're just trying to, one, speed up the show, and two, if people are just going on and thanking everyone they've ever met in their life, we got to get the show rolling. So it is rude to play music to pull people off stage when they are accepting awards. And addendum, should we do this for the Mandy's? All right, Berg?
Yes, we should. No, it is not.
Won't affect
it
us.
It is not rude, so...
But I'm
no problem there.
Maybe this is your year, Slee. You don't
we
know.
We don't even need walk-off music.
Right. No, it's not rude. It should be done. And all these things are, it's all self-aggrandizing anyway. I don't know. You can get them off the stage. Award shows just in general for the actors, they go on too long. The Oscars was like 3.5 hours.
Wow.
4 hours for a while.
Yeah, it's really long.
They've shortened it, I believe.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
It's still going to be long.
It's still going to be long. Like, that's too long. So,
right.
Playing them off, totally fine.
Al?
I'll go cap, but I wish it wasn't so black and white. I wish if somebody's, like, your speech, if it's good and it's flowing, maybe they should get 15 more seconds. And that speech that's all over the place and they forgot what they're supposed to say, maybe they should get 15 less seconds. Like, I wish it wasn't just...
Slide you on a sliding scale?
I want a little sliding scale.
I think that's fair.
How's the speech? Is the speech good? Is everybody engaged in it? Everybody's like, wow, this is really good. And then all of a sudden the music comes on. It's like, well, the speech just ended. Or is this person talking? They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Let's move up the line a little
bit. Like, people know that, like, Kiwi Kwan is going to have a really good speech. He's been having good speeches across the... board on all those awards that he's gotten, but some, yeah, better than others.
You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Trav. Trav?
Short round.
I'm the wrong person to ask this because I could give a damn what anybody has to say about any of that stuff.
Well, you appreciate getting music when you win an Mandy.
Short is always better than long. Always. Mm-hmm. Without exception. How many toasts, how many speeches have you wished? Man, I wish you would have talked longer. Almost never.
What do you
say? Almost never.
You become, you're host of the year at the Mandy's. What do you say?
Word.
And then walk off?
We need
join
a
me for a drink.
Yeah. No, we're good. I don't need to hear anybody say anything after this stuff other than thank you, thanks to my wife, my kids, peace out. I got no time for any of it.
Taylor?
Cap, no, it's not at all rude, and we definitely need to institute this at the next Mandy's because I think they went a little long last time, and it seems like purgatory when you're not winning anything also.
Yeah, so. Sounds like you're just bitter.
It's if you guys were winning everything, would you feel differently?
It might have flown by a little quicker.
I'm gonna bring
hyped up.
I'm gonna set up my fantasy league this year at the Mandy's. I'm gonna
have your
time.
Phone out the whole
I'm have time. Like, all right, let's figure out who I'm drafting.
All right, so a bride has gone viral for making her wedding "quote unquote" adults only, and in the invitation, kind of spelled out why she believed that it should be adults only. So all weddings should be adults only. Alan, fact or cap?
Cap. I get the idea. I get the concept. I come from a really big family. You know, just as an example, my nieces, things like that. No, I want them, my wedding, I want them there. So I think I get it. I understand why people do it. But for me, there is very important family members that are kids that I would want there.
All right, Trav?
Your wedding should be what you want your wedding to be. There are no rules.
There's your answer.
There are no rules to weddings. So if you want a clown juggling chainsaws at your wedding, knock yourself out.
They're booked, by the way.
If you want no kids at your wedding... great. Mm-hmm. It is your wedding, you and your partner's moment to celebrate your love together, and whatever you want to do to celebrate that is the right answer.
Berg?
That's right. It's cap. Whatever you want, you're 100% right, Trav. And I love watching Riley at weddings, dancing around, having a great time.
Sure. Playing with other kids.
Whether she was 3 years old or 11-year-old that she is now, she has a blast no matter what, just playing with all the other kids. No, yeah, it's whatever you want it to be. If you want kids, there should be kids. If you don't, they shouldn't.
Also
be.
Fine.
Yep, totally fine.
Taylor?
Cap, you can do what you want, but don't be offended when the parents that have kids don't want to show up, you know, because...
Yeah.
Also fair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, adults only. Great. I don't have the resources or the... My kid's 6 years old. I can't leave him at home. I don't have anybody to watch him. Can't make it. Here's your cutlery set.
And then also might be like their goal is to kind of weed out the pack.
Kind might be. Of yeah. course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have kids, but maybe for that evening they want to try to have kids.
Hey, Trav, can I borrow Michael and just say that I can't go to this wedding?
Sans shoes.
All right. So this kind of goes into the Steve Ballmer talking about the toilets yesterday because we know we love that.
Toilets. By the way, somebody put up on Twitter, did you see the banner? It's like a Clipper banner. More toilets. Yeah.
Awesome. 2024.
So good.
2024, most toilets.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
All right. So you have knocked on the stall next to you for toilet paper when you've been out. So you've knocked on the stall next
There's
to you.
There's the whole Seinfeld episode.
Oh, so great. Good.
Taylor? I can't spare a square. I don't have a square to spare.
Not one square? not the stall next to me. I've ran out in different homes before and, you know, had to ask the person in the next room for toilet paper. That's embarrassing, but no, never in a stall.
Trav?
No, I'm with Taylor. It's happened in homes, specifically mine, on regular occurrences.
Well, you don't look first.
I do when I'm in a sure. non-home environment. Like it's something that you're like, okay, we're good. Because otherwise you're in a situation that's going to be extremely awkward. But no, never away from the home base.
Berg?
Yeah, never away from home base. But I mean, I would if there's nothing there and I need to use it, I will absolutely tap and say, hey, can you just drop me a couple?
If the bathroom
squares?
Was empty, would you kind of like mosey over into the next stall?
100%. Absolutely.
Al?
You have to. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. You have
I'm
to
not
do
walking
it.
Around like that.
I've not never
like
been.
On the golf course.
Take it easy, Greg. We don't need to get graphic about any of this.
I've never been in that situation. But I've gone to go use the restroom and checked. All right, this stall, you got no toilet paper over here? Cool. We're going to the next one. So I got a little lucky that I actually paid attention to it. So yeah.
You only need to get burned once before you check every time when you're in an unfamiliar environment.
That Seinfeld episode is amazing.
So good. Elaine sitting there yelling.
Elaine's so great.
Elaine's a huge fan. I'm a fan of Elaine.
Oh, Elaine's great.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus might get nominated next year. She's in a movie that's kind of in the circuit, so maybe just write her
which
in.
Which movie?
I can't remember the name of it
people?
Right now.
Or Sorry? You people? Not that one.
No.
Yeah.
But you got a year to.
Did you guys?
Let's get past this year first.
I don't think that's going to make any. I did see it.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole
thing. I punted after like 20 minutes.
No, yeah, I watched the whole thing. This one premiered at Sundance. And so, yeah, it's going to be that kind of a movie.
So she'll be my Jennifer Connelly pick for next year?
Yep, exactly.
There you go. Done. Aaron Rodgers looks like it's likely headed to the Jets. Might be a problem with that. That's coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Emily was talking buzzer beaters. Nothing like a buzzer beater in the tournament.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
ESPN LA has taken over Yamava Resort and Casino's latest amenity, the 909 Sports Bar, for a tournament tip-off watch party. We'll be broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's you and me, Slee, on Thursday, March 16th. You can come and hang out with me, Al, Mason, Ireland, Sedano, Cap. We'll all be there all day long, wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It is the perfect place to watch all the college basketball action, plus we'll be giving away prizes, autographed memorabilia. You need to be 21. Please gamble responsibly. And like you said, you know, none of us are like Jay Billis level college basketball fans, but having it on all day long
awesome.
And games ending and, you know,
the best.
You never kind of know for 2 days, it's pretty fun.
Even the weekend's fun. Saturday and Sunday's pretty fun too.
Those first 4 days are, in my opinion, the best until, I mean, listen, it's Final Four is amazing. Sweet 16, sure. Especially if your squad's in it.
Your
San Diego
squad
State will take down UCLA in the Sweet 16,
not a
so we know what's going to happen
the
there.
World.
We'll probably have really good defense and score 38 points for the game. That's San Diego State University.
Ladie's my guy.
That's your guy.
I just like the name.
I love how you went to the Mountain West The night that the San Diego State Aztecs clinched the Mountain West.
I was in the house.
T. Raj is there.
In the house.
Really?
Viejas Arena on the campus of San Diego State.
Wow.
Ladi.
Paid $280 for his tickets. He just went and scalped him. He said, I got to be there.
I have to be at that game.
Not an empty seat in the house.
It's great.
Not, honest to goodness, it was sold out, and it wasn't just sold out. Like, everybody showed out. It was really cool. It's no shade at all. Great environment for college basketball. I'm rooting for him. Once I play the Gauchos, I'll root for San Diego State. Not so much for you, but for Kelly.
And then it all works out.
That's
fair. And then root for UCLA, just for me.
I'm trying. Jason Levine on Twitter, I don't know what's worse. The fact that we're still slamming Billy Ashley 30 years later, or the fact that everybody gets the reference. Do you have a Padre that Billy Ashley, for those people that don't know, was the guy that was going to come and hit 50 home runs for the Dodgers? He was big. He was like 6'7". He hit bombs, just absolute bombs all through the minor leagues. They bring him up and let's just say it didn't work at all. And the Dodgers kept trying to make it work. It never did. And Dodger fans are like, I thought this was a 50 home run guy. I don't think he hit 50 home runs in his career. Did the Padres have that guy that was super hyped that just fell on his face?
This is more, I'd say, in the 2000s. You guys remember Sean Burroughs?
Yeah, of course. Local Long Beach Little League World Series hero.
Little League World Series, and that's what you heard every game.
Son of a major leaguer.
Okay.
His dad was a major leaguer, Jeff Burroughs.
Every game, all they talked about was he won the Little League World Series. I'm like, I know that, guys. it's a long time ago.
He was 12.
He was kind of a big name. Everybody's waiting to come up. Do you guys remember Khalil Green?
I think he was the first overall pick, no?
I don't know if he was.
Matt Bush, that's who I'm thinking of. Matt Bush was the number one pick.
Actually, that's the name. The one that I should have picked. That's the one that I should have picked. But Khalil Green was another big name. Matt Bush, that story, I think I've told the story before. You know, Kennedy Recreation Center, went to Granite Hills High School.
Matt Bush is an Eagle?
He is an Eagle.
I didn't know that.
He grew up, I played basketball with his brother. I coached against him in flag football and stuff like that when we were all playing. But he kind of was a wild card kid. And I don't know if you guys remember, the Padres took him first.
Uh-huh.
Who was it? Was it Weaver that went in the same draft?
Jared, or is it?
I think Jared Weaver. Think about that. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Jeff was the older one, right? So Jeff
was
older.
It
had to have been
the Angels. Jared had a better career than Jeff.
Did Jared go number two?
I'm looking right now.
So the only reason why the Padres took Matt Bush and not Weaver is because they didn't want to pay Weaver. They took Bush first. Bush came, ended up getting arrested, this, that. So that was another big-time name. So that's the best examples I could give.
Was really good for the Angels, and then he just didn't do much. Jeff Weaver was a Dodger for a little while.
Yeah. It would have been Jared. I think it was Jared.
It makes it was probably that age. Jeff was older.
Let's see. That's not what I'm looking for. No, it's... Every team has that guy that's the guy that's going to come in and absolutely change the way that your organization does it, and very rarely does it work out like
that. No, much worse than that.
Justin Verlander.
Verlander went.
Oh, Verlander
much
went
worse. Verlander
oh,
went
twice. You went over Verlander for Matt? Oh,
and everyone knew Verlander. And everyone knew Verlander was better. They just didn't want to pay him.
I mean, he showed it, too.
And since Matt Bush was from San Diego, they were trying to sell it on. So actually, so Matt Bush... Did he end up going to Granite? Did he go for a year or something like that? He ended up Mission Bay.
Ended up at
Mission Bay, but he's from El Cajon, the whole thing.
He made a comeback as a player later in his life as a pitcher.
Rangers.
Yeah, as a pitcher. He was a shortstop that ultimately made it to...
Awesome I could story. Be I'm not kidding. He had
Didn't
one of the best stories. He did go to jail.
Yeah.
He was in jail for... I don't know how long he was in jail, but he was in jail for a while. And when he came back, it was when the Texas Rangers were getting... They had a little run there, and they were getting to the World Series. And he was a part of those squads, and they had really good stories around that time frame of Matt Bush's return.
The MLB draft is stupid because, look, every once in a while, the first overall pick is Ken Griffey Jr., and okay, great. You know, Ken Griffey Jr. became Ken Griffey Jr.
Who knows
Jr.
what you're going to get in
there? I'm gonna do this as quickly as I can because it's long, but here is the entire first round of that draft. There are basically two major league players in this whole draft.
Which draft are you going to?
The Matt Bush one. Okay,
I bet you the 6th, 7th, and 13th rounds have guys.
Matt Bush, and I'm going in order, 1 through 30. Matt Bush, Justin Verlander,
yep.
Phil Humbler, Jeff Niemann, Mark Rogers, Jeremy Sowers, Homer Bailey, Wade Townsend, Chris Nelson, Thomas Diamond, Neil Walker, Jared Weaver was 12. Okay. Bill Bray, Billy Butler, Stephen Drew, David Percy, Scott Elbert, Josh Fields, Chris Lambert, Trevor Plouffe, Greg Golson, Glenn Perkins, Phil Hughes, Landon Powell, Kyle Waldrop, Richie Robnett, Taylor Tankersley, Blake DeWitt, Matthew Campbell, and Eric Hurley.
A couple of those guys got major leagues.
In the major league, but they were they're
Blake DeWitt was a Dodger.
They were plumbers.
Trevor Plouffe had a little bit of time.
These guys, there's two guys that made an impact in the major leagues. Not that made the major
Homer
leagues.
Homer Bailey had
the
a
first
short
round.
Time.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to pick all-stars in the first round. You're supposed to pick guys that play 10 years in the first round. Two.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander. No, let's not take him. Is that not a very Padre thing to do?
Okay.
It's not just the Padres.
Good news
I think
for the
other
Pods, though, Slee, honestly. With Peter Seidler, that will never happen again.
100%.
You'll pay him.
That if Justin Verlander is the clear consensus best player in the draft, you're not going to take him because you don't think you can afford to pay him. Padres will pay now.
Every small market team is probably rooting against the Padres. They don't want to see them have any success. They don't want to spend money. A lot of these other markets don't. Was it the Rockies owner that came out was like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. Yeah, you just don't want to spend any money.
How would you like to be a fan of a team like that? Well, it kind of puts a pressure on us. Yeah, you think?
Well, look at the guys they got rid of. You let Nolan Arenado just basically walk away.
Look, that's the one thing I will say, coming from San Diego and being in Los Angeles, that I don't think people from LA will truly appreciate because it's just normal to them. You got so much pressure and you have so much competition within your own city. If you are not competing every single year, if you are not trying every year, you really do get left behind. The Rams won a freaking Super Bowl a year plus ago, and you cannot tell me when the Rams play the Niners at SoFi that you're not going to have a ton of Niners. You have to be good pretty much every single year in LA because of what you're fighting for within.
Not that they ever would, but the only two teams that could take their foot off the gas for a while and they'd be fine are the Lakers and Dodgers.
That's mm-hmm. it. Yep.
That's it.
They'll be fine, and you won't stop hearing the chirping.
You'll be hearing the chirping the whole time, but it's not like you turn around and Dodger Stadium's empty. It's not like you turn around and Crypto is empty. The Dodger and Laker fans, they got him.
The fan base never goes away at any point.
No.
They're going to show up to every single game. They're
it's not
buy
that
the
they
merch.
Don't
they're
go away.
The merch.
It's
None
because
it.
Yeah. there's so many of them that yes. it's such a high volume that you can only
hardcore.
Fit 19,000 fans
You know what's crazy about that,
though?
So here's one that I thought would have fell into that category, but it wasn't. It's SC football.
Yeah.
I thought SC football was one of these, like, it's SC, right? They've got Heisman trophies. That the Kiffin, Sarkisian, Helton hat trick really put a damper on that program. Before Lincoln Riley came last year,
yeah.
Coliseum was empty. And not only was it empty, it was flat.
Yep.
It was boring. The football was boring. The environment was boring. There wasn't anything to it. And all of a sudden, they come back last year. Lincoln Riley does what he does. 80,000 people again. There's buzz. There's excitement. And it's the place to be all over again. I thought they were – UCLA basketball is another one you thought would be a
– It went away.
And it went away. It's the Dodgers and the Lakers are the only two.
It's because if you hate the coach, and that's what happened a lot with Clay Helton and Sarkisian and all the Kiffins and all those guys, the same thing happened with UCLA basketball where you hated Steve Alford. He was just an absolute disaster of a coach, and you just destroyed the program, and nobody wanted to actually be there to watch.
But even if you hate the coach, even if you hate the coach, if you're winning – They're going to come
but
out.
But they weren't winning.
UCLA
but
fans.
That's more of the gauge, correct?
Like have to win. But they went to Sweet 16s, but it wasn't because of him, and it was a whole mess.
You guys are skipping over the most important part. Ben Howland was taking him to the Final Four on the regs, and they ran him off.
Yep. I don't need to get into that. That's a whole much longer conversation.
But
he went to two.
He's going to the Final Four, and he's in the mix a lot, and he's got NBA players falling out of his ears. He's got Westbrook and Love, and he's got NBA players.
There's a lot of nuance to it, but yes.
I understand, but he had NBA, and I know the players were not super excited to play for him stylistically and everything else.
He lost every AAU coach.
They were good, and they won games. He was putting guys in the league, and they're like, nah, we should do better. You're in the Final Four a lot. It just seems like maybe a guy might want to consider keeping around. What do I know?
Is he the only, probably like the only coach that's in the Final Four every year? And he's like, he's on the hot seat.
It's like he then went to, but he doesn't win. Come on.
He wasn't winning. Then he went to Mississippi State and he didn't win there. And now he's just kind of hanging out at Poly Pavilion with Mick Cronin.
I used to get my arm iced when he was getting his knees iced in the UC Santa Barbara athletic training facility after he would come off practice and before I'd start. Ben and I are basically best friends.
I loved him.
He wouldn't know my face if you gave him two to pick from, but I'm sticking with that story no matter what. All right. Little news on Laker luck. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Caleb Williams is leaning into something that I absolutely love. What's coming up next? It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.